Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Las Musas podcast. My name is Alyssa Reynoso Morris, and I am the author of Plátanos Are Love. Today, I'm joined by Elle Gonzalez Rose, Maria Jose Fitzgerald, and Aisha Perez Prado. And today, on this episode of Debut Diaries, the picture book edition, we'll be talking about being a debut author. Elle, can you start us off by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your book?
Yes, hello. I'm actually not a picture book. I am a YA. I am a YA debut. My queer romantic rom-com, Caught in a Bad Romance, comes out in fall of 2023 from Joy Revolution, which is an imprint of Delacorte, which is an imprint of Penguin Random House. And it is essentially about the sons of two rival families deciding to put their loathing aside long enough to put together this very convoluted fake dating scheme that is mutually beneficial.
Awesome. I love that. Maria?
Hi, yes, I am Maria Jose Fitzgerald, and my debut novel is also not a picture book. It is a middle grade novel. It's an eco mystery titled Turtles of the Midnight Moon. And Turtles of the Midnight Moon follows the story of two girls. It's a dual POV novel. Barana, who is 12 years old and lives in a coastal village in Honduras. She spends every minute of her day visiting the sea turtles that nest on her beach. And then my other character is Abby, who is feeling adrift in New Jersey. And she finally gets a chance to visit her papa's homeland, which is Honduras. And of course, Abby and Barana's stories meet. And before they know it, they are sleuthing together, trying to figure out what is going on because poachers have been preying on the sea turtles, the eggs. And they sort of discover the meaning of friendship along the way and family and the meaning of home, really, which is what sort of propelled this story and migration. Sea turtles are migratory species, but they always come back home to their native beaches. So that's my debut. And it comes out in March, March 14th, 2023 by Knopf Books for Young Readers, which is an imprint of Penguin Random House.
Love that. As a fellow tree hugger, that warms my heart.
Yay. I know. I just, ecology is my first love. I just love ecology and how everything is interconnected and interwoven. And that's a big theme in my novel too, how Abby's a photographer. She's an amateur photographer and she's sort of learning about finding that connection between human and the environment, that we're a part of it. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. Aisha?
Yeah, well, both of your books sound so interesting. I can't wait to read them. So I am a picture book author and also an illustrator. I'm the author illustrator. And my debut is called City Feet. And it's a rhyming, sort of silly, short, sort of story about a toddler just strolling their way through the city and seeing everybody from like the waist down. So all the illustrations, you only see legs and feet of people and animals, and all there's like the diversity of city feet, and like there's silly things like there's penguin feet, pig feet suddenly appearing in Brooklyn, you know, there. And it also takes place in, I mean, you can see maps of different cities throughout the world in the illustrations, like Buenos Aires and Casablanca, places I've lived. Oh, there's the mixing of languages, because I mixed in some French, Spanish, Portuguese, just in the rhyming, like I rhymed in some languages. Like one part, it says, Buenos días, sacase, guten tag, salam, good day. You know, that's like a rhyme. And I'm proud of one of the languages is Quechua, which you hardly ever see in a book. It's an indigenous South American language. So I wanted to throw in a little bit of that because I'm from Argentina. So that's that.
I love that. That's so cute.
Yeah, that's amazing.
I want that book too.
As someone who writes picture books but cannot write rhyme, I'm super like excited about that. And
yeah, I have to say who's publishers, because I just realized everyone said their publisher but me. It's Ray Craft Books, and it comes out in January.
Oh, right around the corner. Okay, yes. Cool. Awesome. And so my book, Platanos Are Love, is a picture book, not a rhyming one. So I'm excited to get yours and learn from you. It is a delicious picture book about the ways plantains shape Latinx culture, community, and family, told through a young girl's experience in the kitchen with her abuela. And similar to your book, it does have a lot of Spanglish in there. And it's about family and food and her learning that platanos are love and not just a food item, and that they can feed us in many ways. So yeah, and I have two other books, but this is my debut, and it comes out with Athenium under Simon & Schuster. And my other two books are called The Bronx Is My Home. And my third book is called Gloriana Presente, a first day of school book. So super excited. Debuting is a interesting time. So before we like talk about how wonderful and stressful debuting a book can be, I personally would love to learn like how you all got your agents. I feel like that's always a good story. So Maria?
Okay, sure. I'll go first. I got my agent through an author mentorship program that unfortunately no longer exists. So sad face emoji. I got my agent through Pitch Wars, which I don't know if you've heard of Pitch Wars, but
yeah, I've heard of it, but I
yeah. So after querying my novel for a while and getting rejections and feedback and a couple of R&Rs, I realized it just wasn't ready to query. And I was like, well, what do I do? So I went through Pitch Wars. I got into Pitch Wars, which is a mentorship program that used to be from November through February, where new authors are mentored and you clean up your novel and make it better, and you get it ready for this thing called an agent showcase. So agents basically come to the showcase. It's virtual. It was virtual. So agents kind of come to you, to the showcase. And Pitch Wars had a website with everybody's pitch, basically, and then the first sample pages. And so then agents were able to get access to this site and see all the different Pitch Wars novels and reach out to the authors. And so that's how I ended up getting my agent, was through Pitch Wars. So kind of a unique way, I guess.
Yeah. That is super unique. Awesome. Yeah.
It's so sad it's over now, because it really was a great program to help, you know, new authors who really weren't quite ready but needed a little bit of a leg up and support in through the query trenches. So it really did change my life. I'm a much better writer because of it. My mentors are just incredible people. So yeah, that's definitely me. That's my agent story.
Mentorship programs are super important.
Yeah.
Elle, do you mind?
Yeah. And I think actually this is a perfect time for me to answer this question, because I also not as directly got my agent through a mentorship program, but I never would have gotten my agent if it weren't for a different mentorship program. I was a part of Author Mentor Match when I first wrote that's always like the second draft of my novel. And I was like, this is not ready to be queried. It was never queried. I was like, I had never queried before, and I was just so unsure of what the process was. And I knew that this book was like, it had something, but I didn't know how to improve it. And I, at the time, didn't really have a writing community of my own, because I was just kind of starting out. Like, I'd been writing my entire life, but I was like, oh, you know, like, I'm not in college with other writers anymore. How do I find a community again? So I was like, I'm going to try a mentorship program, you know, just on a whim. And it actually panned out. You know, I was like, oh my gosh. And just like you were saying, that it like changed the way that I think about writing. And I was like, I found with writing book two that having done a mentorship program, I was like, oh, this is not nearly the slog it was with book one, because I actually know how to format a book and how to draft and what's act one, what the heck is going on in act one and stuff, and making outlines and whatnot. So it's so much easier to draft book two. But that was essentially what I did, is that I applied for Author Mentor Match. I was paired with my amazing mentor, who has completely reshaped the way that I think about writing. And I did one of those edits where like I started like a fresh blank document, like start from page one, because I rewrote the book from third person to first person, along with changing some other stuff about the plot. And that took about, I think, like a month, maybe a little bit more time than that. And from there, you know, we just kind of fine-tuned it a little bit longer. And this is the part where I say that my story is very unusual in that I remember I sent out my queries. I'm trying to remember the exact amount of days. I think it was 10 days from when I sent my first query to getting an agent offer, which is absolutely, I was like, I did not see that coming. I was so sure. Like when I got the email from my agent, now my now agent, I was like, this is going to be a rejection. Just prepare yourself. And he was like, you want to set up a call? And I was like, what? Yeah, I was like, what? And of course, and I was like, in my mind, I'm like, he's just calling to insult me. He's going to be like, this is the worst book I've ever read. How dare you send this to me? Why would you do this? And of course, he's, you know, amazing and so kind. And it was an offer and it was amazing. And I was staying at my parents' house at the time. So I was like, mom, dad, I was like, I got an agent offer. And they're like, oh, great. So when can I buy your book? And I was like, no, that's not quite how it works. And then 2 weeks later, you know, I talked to some other agents and I was like, the first agent just really kind of got what I was trying to do with the book. And I signed with him and it's been amazing ever since. He's awesome. But I do like to preface this, like, I never anticipated that this, my journey with queering was going to go that fast. It just happens that my agent is very speedy. And like many people say, it's a case of, you know, like right book, right time kind of thing. And it just all fell into place a lot quicker than I think anyone anticipated. I was ready for the long haul.
Timing definitely has a lot to do with it, for sure. Aisha?
Yeah, so my story is a little bit different. It's kind of like a tragic comedy in a way. I got my first, I'm on my second agent. I got my first agent through a pitch event, Diversity Pit, I think it's called Div Pit. I got like a lot of likes from a lot of agents on this one story, including the agent I ended up signing with, who is a very successful agent, a good agent, but neither one of the stories that she subbed for me sold. And it was awkward. Like, I don't think it was a good fit, even though she is a really successful agent for other people, you know? And so we ended up breaking up, which was kind of like a little divorce. And it felt terrible to me because I hadn't sold anything, you know? And I thought, well, it's going to take me forever to get another agent. I don't even know if I want to try again. You know, I was pretty bummed about it. And it was right when COVID hit hard as well. And my husband was hospitalized a couple of times. We had like a bad COVID experience in my family. And so I just decided I'm just going to reach out to a person I'd taken a writing class with who had just become an agent. She was a new agent. I'm going to be like, this is what happened to me. What do you think I should do? You know, just asking for advice. And I did. And she said, well, you know, she gave me some advice, which was good advice, but she also said, send me a couple of your stories. So like, I can tell you pitch this one or don't pitch that one, whatever. And I did. And she wrote back to me and said, I can't let you go. I want to represent you. And so I was like, what? Cause I really wasn't querying her. I was just like, you know, her Twitter handle was not open to queries. So like, I wasn't querying. But yeah, so she took me on and it's been great because it's a good fit. She's a new agent, but she's already made a number of sales and she's just a very nice person and I feel comfortable with her, you know, and I think that's really important when you're getting an agent, you know, to feel supported and comfortable and like you are valuable. Also, she wanted to represent me as an illustrator, which I wasn't even thinking about, but I just sort of mentioned on the side, I also draw stuff. And so she was like, show me a picture. She's like, you're an illustrator. So I was like, okay, yay. So that's my, so it was sad, but then it turned happy.
This is like the rom-com story of agent and client. I love that.
Well, and thank you so much for, you know, sharing that because a lot of people don't know that it's not a linear path, right? And that there's so many different ways to get an agent. Like the fact looking for advice, that's genius, you know. And then she ended up representing you, which is awesome. And I love that you hit on the fact that someone can be a great agent, but they might not be the right agent for you, right? And so my agent, I actually also applied for a mentorship program. I applied for the Las Musas mentorship program, and I was lucky enough to be paired with Dana Barba Higuera, author of The Last Cuentista. Yes, yes, I know. Amazing. Literally the luckiest mentee in the whole wide world. And then I applied after that mentorship program, which gave me so many tools. I also applied for another mentorship program called The Word. And it's an editor-writer mentorship program. And they actually, what's a little bit different about that one is that they pair you up with an editor. So most mentorship programs pair you up with another author. This one paired you up with an editor. So what I also did another one of those competitions. I forget which one, but shortly after doing one of those competitions, I got the Words mentorship program and was able to, when I started querying, saying, hey, I have editors that are interested in my work. And that really like propelled getting offers, right? Like, because the way like my mentorship said it is like good agents are like sharks. When they smell blood in the water, they want more. So like getting all of those likes from editors and agents during those competitions. And the fact that I got three mentorship programs, but withdrew from the third one because I ended up getting an agent first. It was like, look, clearly she kind of sort of knows what she's doing, even though she's not published yet, if enough people are buying in, right? Got a call from my agent. She was actually going to give me an R&R. And then 3 hours later, she was like, never mind, I changed my mind. I'm going to offer you representation. I was totally going to do the R&R. So say yes to R&Rs, whether they come from an agent, whether they come from an editor, do the things, do it. It's a good practice in editing if at its worst, but at its best, it can lead to more, right? So yeah, definitely fun different ways to get editors. So apply for all the mentorship programs and apply for, do all the pitch competitions, I think is like the moral of the story.
And it's a very good moral. One I agree with. Like, this actually goes really well into our next question, which is something that I didn't know is that R&Rs exist when you're on sub, which is something that we have all done now, not R&Rs necessarily, but we've all been on sub. So what do you think are some of the things that you wish you'd known about going on sub, or some things that you would tell other writers who are either querying or just signed with an agent to expect about the sub experience?
Breathe. Breathe, breathe, breathe. I have never had trouble breathing or anxiety or anything. I mean, I'm an anxious person, but this was next level anxiety, which I was absolutely not expecting. It just completely took me by surprise. I'm usually a pretty even-keeled person. And, you know, I'm a teacher, like I kind of keep my cool in situations. I have two daughters, like I can kind of handle stress, but I don't know what it was about being on sub, maybe the reality of it, or just that this was real, like it was going out to editors in the world. Something about it gave me a lot of stress. And I actually had heart palpitations and just the waiting is hard. So I just had to really learn to breathe and meditate and get back into writing too, you know, just get back into my work in progress and try to put aside the fact that I was on submission. It happened rather quickly, not quickly, but like within, I think it was 5 or 6 weeks, right? Or something like that. We had a final offer, but which is not long, but still it was tough. And I think that if it had gone longer, I would have probably gotten more at ease with the whole thing. I would have settled into it more, but I feel like it happened quickly enough that I didn't ever get to settle into it. So I'd love to hear from you all, how, if it took longer than, I think it was 5 weeks for me, 5-6 weeks, what that was like, because I would definitely say just breathe, let it go. Once you're on sub, just, you know, you've offered it up to the universe, you've offered it up to the world. It is what it is, and hopefully it sells. But it was very stressful for me, which is, yeah, it's hard.
Yeah, sub is hard. Submission is definitely challenging, because it's like, you, once you query an agent, you feel like the waiting is done, but it's not. It's just, it's more waiting, and you have to do it every time you're, you know, working on a new book. For me, my submission process actually went pretty quickly as well, but like we got responses within like a week, but they weren't offers. They were R&Rs. They were revise and resubmit. So I think she queried to a small batch. She queried to like five editors, and three out of the five gave me R&Rs, and I did all of them. I was like, all right, mamo. Like, I was like, this is caffeine. Like, I told my husband, I was like, you're not going to see me for the next couple weeks. I have three R&Rs to work on. And it was stressful, obviously, because you're just like, I hope I do the feedback well enough that they like it. But it was a good experience in like balancing the editor's feedback and like my own vision for the story, right? Because at the end of the day, it's my story. So it was good practice of like what it would be like to work with them before the actual pressure of working with them, right? So if you have the opportunity to do an R&R, I highly recommend it. It's good for you as a writer to learn what that process is like, but also less pressure, because if their feedback didn't jive with me, you know, that's what your agent's for. They're like, thank you so much for this generous feedback, but it doesn't really align with their vision for the story, and you move on, right? So listen to your gut, I guess, would be like my main thing when you're on sub. If you get feedback from editors that doesn't jive with you, no lo haga, don't do it. And then just work on your other project, just like how Maria, like, just like what you said, work on your other stuff, because if you're not, you're going to think about being on sub, and that's not great. So keep writing.
Yeah. So for me, you know how the agent story was sort of like a love story track. My sub story is like a horror story, like a nightmare. I hate being on sub. I have never had a good experience, I could say. I've been to acquisitions, I think, three or four times with R&Rs that went back and forth a lot and then didn't get bought. So that's really bad. That's bad. And I did also have that anxiety that I wasn't expecting. And so what happens now is, when I'm on sub, it's like I forget about, like, I've tricked my brain into being like, okay, I'm done. Now I have to do all these illustrations. I'm writing this other thing. I'm going to try this class, et cetera, because I have to distract myself. Otherwise, I'm miserable. And like the two books that I've sold as a kid lit author so far have just sailed through the process. They weren't really on sub. They were requested, you know, from pitch events. So my actual being on sub has never gone well. So, you know, and it's stressful because I feel like those are my best stories and the ones that are most meaningful to me. And it's especially difficult when you get an R&R and another one and another one, and it goes to acquisitions and then they pass. Like, that's like, it's the worst. So luckily, I draw, I paint, I do a lot. I do that kind of thing. I drink wine. I chill, because otherwise,
oh, yeah. I'll... wine.
Wine.
How ironic. Yeah, the two picture book writers are the ones advocating for wine.
Oh, I've been on sub with a picture book. I've been on sub with a picture book for a year now. So I do the wine too. A lot of picture book rejections.
I also do the wine for sure. I think we're all doing it. It was just like, I was like, I was like, am I going to bring it up? I was like, that was a decent part of the sub journey. For me, I guess my journey was not super long either, but it's a little bit longer. I think it's about 6 or 7 months, but the majority of that time I was doing an R&R, which was just for, it was an exclusive R&R. So I was only working on it for one editor. And just like you were saying earlier, Alyssa, like, I really responded to that feedback, and I had this idea that, like, that responded to the main feedback that they had. And I was like, oh, I think this solves a lot of like the very minute things that I had, like little things I didn't love about the book, and actually also addressed a lot of the passes that we had already gotten. And I was really excited about it, and I was working on it, and I was like, oh, like it just really flowed and it just felt right. Like it was like, yes, this is what I want this book to be. And I think that's really important if you are going to take on an R&R, because it is like so much effort and so much like of your heart has to go into it, especially, you know, if there's a chance that they might not buy it, and that's okay. Like, you know, because then you're going to go out on sub with it to even more editors, and it might be, you know, the best version of the manuscript, or rather that's what you want it to be. You want it to be the best version of the manuscript, and you want to believe in it, and you don't want to have done this R&R that you don't really believe in and have made these changes that are now going to go out to more editors, and you're thinking the whole time, but I like the book better the way that it was before. And that was something that I made sure that I did as I was working through that R&R, was knowing like, these are all changes that I believe are making the book better. And two other things that I would recommend are, one, eyes on your own paper, which I think is a big thing in querying as well, but I think is very applicable to sub too, is something that I told a friend recently, was I said, an editor can get two books in the same genre, in the same age category, with a very similar one-line pitch on the same day, and will offer on one and on, not on the other, not because of the strength or whatever of the manuscript. It is just like time and place. Like, you know, it'll happen. It's just not meant to happen sometimes. And you cannot read into like, oh, but this person got an offer in 24 hours and we were in the same genre, therefore my book isn't good, my book isn't going to sell. It's like, you don't need to read the tea leaves. Your journey is your journey. It's not going to be, there's no linear journey with sub. It can go any which way. And it's just not helpful to you and your mental health to look at the others around you and find yourself getting caught up in other people's journeys. Because at the end of the day, your journey is, you know, the one that matters most to you. And not focusing so much on what's going on with other people is going to help you feel that genuine joy for, you know, your friends and your writing community when they get good news. It's natural to feel like that, like, oh no, it didn't happen to me yet. And that's okay. But, you know, like, not getting so hung up on like, everybody but me has a book deal, everybody but me sold in this amount of time or sold for this amount of money kind of thing, will just make the journey a lot easier and just take a lot less out on you. And another thing too that I would recommend to writers who are about to go on sub is to kind of discuss with your agent in advance, how do you want to get feedback? Because some people, you know, they want to know everything. That was me when I first started sub. I was like, I want to know everything. I want to see the rejections, even if it doesn't have feedback. I just want to know, because at the time I was like, I want to scratch that itch. But know that if you're going to ask for all of the feedback as it comes in, that means you're not going to be able to control when you're going to get hit with that. Kind of like querying. You don't have control over when an editor is going to send a rejection. Whereas if you're the type where you can ask like, oh, can I do it in a batch once a month? Just get all the feedback then, unless it needs like an immediate answer. Or some agents will do like a Google Doc where they'll put all the feedback in there. Think about that. Like if you feel okay with knowing that sometimes you're going to get like a hit when you don't expect it. I went through a really difficult time when I was on submission. Like my dad was very sick and ultimately passed away. And I didn't think at the time, like, oh, you know, I should ask my agent to not send me these rejections. So I'm getting like, you know, these hits in my inbox when I check them, when I'm already in a really like emotionally vulnerable state. And it's just, it sucks. You know, it sucks more than usual. And I wish, looking back, that I had just said like, oh, you know, actually, I don't want to see anything for a little while. I'm just not in a good place right now to see the rejections. I just want to kind of keep my, you know, attention on personal stuff, and I'll worry about that when it comes to later. You're allowed to do that. If you like, you can change your mind halfway through. If you say, I want to see all feedback, and you realize, nah, this isn't for me, you can change your mind. It's okay. Like, do what's best for you and what feels right for you, I guess, is the overall, like, the greater message of my tips here.
Yeah, that's gold. Thank you so much for sharing that. I had my agent do a Google Doc for the same reason. I was just like, today might be a day that I know that I'm not going to do any writing, and I have my wine with me. So I have the mental fortitude to look at these rejections. And other days I'm like, nah, I'm trying to be mad creative, so I don't need that bringing me down. Right. So kind of on that topic, the next question is, what are things that you do when you need to take time for yourself to step away. Aisha?
Yeah, well, like I said before, like drawing and painting, like I've always, like all of us, I think we've always been writers probably since we were little, even if we weren't actual writers. I've always felt like I was an artist on the inside. And so now I feel like I can sort of say it on the outside. Oh, I'm an artist. So I can spend a lot of time sort of like drawing, painting, and learning more about the craft. You know, I love learning different like digital art and watercolor techniques and stuff that now doesn't feel like I'm sort of wasting time. It feels like I'm working on my craft, you know, and I can just get really distracted with that for a long time and not worry about things. But also, I was born in Argentina. Spanish is my first language, and it's really important to me. And I really wasn't writing much in Spanish. I'm a translator. I know how to read and write in Spanish, but I wasn't really writing stories. And so I ended up joining a Spanish critique group. And now we've made like an online group where we have free stories and poems for kids who are learning Spanish, and we put them up, and just building the community of the Spanish language writers that I'm not worried about, oh, this story, I have to send it to my agent. She's not going to read that story. She's not going to try to sell that story. So I can write sort of for the, just knowing I'm going to share it with kids, and maybe someday it'll become, you know, something else. But for now, it's something that we're doing and sort of giving back to the community. And it's also a way, I think, that Elle was talking about, like not comparing yourself to other people, but finding joy in other people's success as well. Like really, I found that the Kidlit community is really pretty supportive. And like you do something, your critique partners, if you're lucky, they're so happy for you. And, you know, and some of these Spanish language writers, they've published in Spanish and they're very supportive. And also my English language CPs, Dana Barba Higuera was my CP, by the way, for a little while before
no
she
way.
Left. She got too big. Yes. But she was my CP for a little while. But yeah, so our group is called Kaleidoscopio, and the dos is a number two. So go to kaleidoscopio.com for free Spanish stories and poems for kids if you're interested.
I love that. My mom is a teacher.
Oh yeah.
Read the work. So I'm definitely gonna be doing that. Yeah, that's great. I love that. Maria?
Okay, so first of all, I want to join Kaleidoscopio. I teach Spanish. I teach at a school in New York City. I teach Spanish. So I am going to be looking up your stories for Kaleidoscopio. I was born and raised in Honduras. Spanish is my first language as well. I try to sprinkle it into my novels too. So I'm so excited about that. I will look it up for sure. I love what Aisha said about you know, doing it for the love of doing it. I think that's so great that you're writing stories and drawing, which is part of your quote unquote job, but you're finding ways to do it for the art of it. You know, I think that's just wonderful. And I feel like I do that a little bit, but not enough. I should do that more. So I'm going to actually follow that advice myself. I think for me, I like to spend time with my friends and like disconnect from writing world, because I do agree the Kidlit community, Aisha, is amazing online, and the support, I love my Kidlit friends, but I do find that sometimes going out for wine or dinner with friends who know nothing about publishing or writing, my lawyer, my good friend who's a lawyer, my other great friend who's a special ed teacher for the deaf, you know, my other local friend who teaches, who's a reading specialist. And so we'll spend time together and just talk about other stuff. That helps me kind of reground myself in my, you know, refine my center. That, and, you know, whenever I can, getting some fresh air and just practicing gratitude, I guess, helps me let the stress of all of this publishing stuff go, and the next thing I have to write and the next deadline. And, you know, even once you have a debut contract, I mean, there are rejections that keep coming. And so you do have to constantly fortify yourself in other ways to deal with those no's. You know, like I mentioned earlier, my picture book, has been on sub for two rounds now, and it has been rejected. And, you know, I wrote two novels in the span of the last year and a half while I was also editing my debut novel. And neither one of those is going to be my second book because they, you know, they didn't work as book two. And so having that, but I had to write those books for myself, right? You know, one is a novel in verse that just didn't work. The other one, or for this particular contract or publisher, the other one deals with grief and, you know, some other heavier topics that aren't quite aligned with Turtles of the Midnight Moon, similar kind of flow. So it's interesting. The author journey doesn't stop after your debut. There's a lot of stress with your debut, but you have to constantly find ways to ground yourself and practice gratitude and find, like what Aisha said, you know, to do it for the love of the craft and for the love of the art itself and kind of letting go of all those other pressures. And that's hard. It's hard. I'm still learning how to do all that. So, yeah.
I love that. I think exactly what you said. I think it's so important when you're debuting to just like take a moment of gratitude and ground yourself. Like you were saying, Maria, like I find myself sometimes when I'm so overwhelmed, just sitting there and thinking like, how lucky am I to have my childhood dreams coming true with an imprint that I never thought was going to want me, you know, and telling this story that's so important to me and to have good friends and to, you know, have a beautiful apartment, to have this dog sitting behind me. That's so cute. You just need to take those moments to step away from the hecticness and just be like, okay, everything's okay. And this is something that I have started to do with my day job, because my day job is very fast paced, but I try to remind myself when I feel very overwhelmed by things that it is not the end of the world if you forget to do something, or like you're a little behind on something, or even if you need to extend a deadline, like it's okay. You come first and do not, you know, kill yourself over these things that at the end of the day, like can be moved. And it's important that you don't kind of destroy yourself at the expense of getting things done, because then you're going to end up with either just too burned out to care, or you're going to come out with a product that you're not really proud of because you put too much energy into it and now you're not enjoying what you're doing anymore. And I think it's exactly like everyone said, it's like taking moments to step away from the writing and go for a walk, go appreciate nature, hang out with friends who are not involved in publishing for a little bit. And something that I started to do as I started to like draft again after not having drafted something fresh for so long is exactly that, reminding myself of the love of the craft. Like I need to remind myself that, you know, before I became author, a novelist, I was just a person who loved to write. I've loved to write my entire life. I just like to sit down and write stories. So when I was outlining this story and figuring out like, what do I want to do now, is that every time I have this daily writing session, I leave off kind of before I'm ready to. Like I actually cut myself off a little early if I hit my word count goal for the day. So long as I did that, I'll like, okay, leave it there, because then I'm excited to come back to it again tomorrow. It's like, oh, you know, like that's what keeps the excitement alive. It's like looking forward to writing again. And then if there's, you know, a scene that I'm kind of like struggling through, is like finding something that reignites that spark and that love for writing that kind of led me here in the first place. And that's what makes processes like revising and drafting and revisiting things so much more enjoyable. It's just not looking at it as like, this is a product that I must deliver by this day. And it's going, and trying to not think about the fact that it's going to be published too much, you know, and that people are going to read it and what are they going to think about it? I can worry about that later when I'm at past pages. But for now, I can just remind myself that I enjoy writing. And why do I enjoy writing? What is it about the story that I really like? And just focusing on that for as long as possible.
I love that. I'm not going to really be sharing anything new because you guys basically summed it up. What I will share is just to on Maria's point about the gratitude. I have this app called Presently, and like every day it prompts me to write something I'm grateful for. And growing up, that's something my abuela used to tell me every day. She told me, you didn't live your day if you didn't do three things. One, demonstrate gratitude. Two, smile. Three, learn something new. So every night before I went to bed, she's like, what did you learn today? ¿Qué aprendiste? You know, like, what are you grateful for? Who did you smile at today? So that lesson was just like a general life lesson that has served me in every capacity of my life, including my author life. And then I would say the other thing that I do to unplug, other than like hanging out with my friends, I don't have too many local friends, unfortunately, but I love just going out in the woods with my daughter. I have a 3-year-old toddler that just loves like dirt and being out in trees. And it brings me so much joy because I'm a tree hugger. So like knowing that like I brought this little person into this world that literally actually hugs trees with me is everything. So when I'm like super stressed out, I'm just like, ah, I gotta do this. I'm just like, no, it's not happening. I'm not gonna force it. And then we just go out, and I live in Philadelphia, which even though it's like a city, it has lots of parks. And so I'm just really grateful for green. And also the Latinx kid community, like Aisha said, it's amazing. It's nice being able to know that like when things aren't working out the way that you want them to, you have people that you can trust that understand and that you can like vent with, you know. But yeah, gratitude and green stuff.
That's a good way to sum it up. Gratitude and green. We're all going outside and we're all grateful.
For sure.
Yeah, we're just really grateful and we just really love the outdoors, which is great advice. Now we're taking a slightly, not more somber turn, but, you know, on the topic of stress and trying to decompress, what has been the most difficult part about preparing for your debut?
I'd have to say it's just like, I feel like so much of debuting and like just marketing in general is trial and error. Like, I feel like no one really actually knows what sells books. Even the quote unquote experts. And I feel like it's kind of stressful because it's just like, you don't know where to put your effort. And then, yeah, it's it's a struggle. I mean, fortunately, there's groups like Las Musas, like this, where people are like sharing good advice. But even within communities like this, there's still a lot of like not too much knowing. I think there's just not, it's just not tracked very well. Like, other than as much as I hate them, like Amazon, it's like really hard to know like how your pre-sales are going. Like, I remember asking my editor, I'm like, so how are we doing? And she's like, well, it's a little too soon. And I'm like, so when can I bug you again about this? And she's like, give me like a month before your release date. And I'm like, so I just have to live in this bubble of mystery for, okay, that's uncomfortable for my Aries Leo self. Like, I'm an Aries sun, Leo moon. The fire sign in me is dying inside. Like, I'm burning up. And I'm also like a very data-driven person. So the fact that just like there's data, but not, is very uncomfortable. So that's my answer.
Oh my God. I'm like the opposite of you. Like, I don't want to know. I don't want to have anything to do. I want to pretend I don't even have to sell one book. I just put a book out there. It's done. I'm done. Like, that's how I want to feel. I find it really stressful. This is what I find stressful. Looking at other people's like cover reveals who apparently had like a budget of $100,000. I don't know how they did it. They did like an anime, like a movie. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I was supposed to learn how to animate and get a set design and hire a composer. Like, how do they do it? And I don't know how to do these things. And I feel like it's not good enough. Anything I do is not going to be good enough because I don't have a budget of any kind. At least no one's told me I do yet. So that's stressful for me. And at the same time, I'm thinking I should just chill out, for God's sake. Who cares? Like, nobody actually cares about that but you. And a cover reveal does not, I think, sell books really. Maybe it sells a couple. But I heard somewhere, or I read somewhere, that even the authors who do like everything, you do 1,000 different things, you do promos, you do this and that, the difference in how many books they sell is about 50. And I'm like, okay, 50 books, not that many books for like a ton of effort. So my advice would be what you enjoy, do what's fun. Like I learned to do this little thing on Canva. I was so proud of myself. I'm like, ooh, look, I learned how to do this little cute little video on Canva, which is nothing special. And everybody in, you know, knows how to use Canva except for me, but now I do. And I had fun with it. And so, or like in Brooklyn, where I was a couple of days ago, I started filming people's feet, you know, legs and feet. And I did like a little video for City Features. Those kinds of things, it's something that it's fun. It doesn't cost me any money. It's not professional, but that's okay. If I'm enjoying it and I'm sort of playing with the idea of promo, I'm happy. If I'm thinking, oh my God, I have to do this or else I'm going to get in trouble if it's not good, then I'm miserable. So I have to fool myself into thinking I don't actually have to sell any books. I don't know.
I want to jump in. So because you basically said exactly how I was feeling or what I was thinking, which is that what Elle said earlier about keeping your eyes on your own paper, the same thing goes with marketing and doing all the quote unquote debut promo that you have to do for yourself. Like, you know, I'm a full-time teacher. I'm a mom. Like I'm part of a debut group on like a Discord, and I love my debut group. They're so great. And we support each other. We boost each other. But a lot of them are doing all these things that like, I just don't have the time to do. You know, I can't, you know, partake in all those amazing things that may or may not help sell the book. And so like Aisha said, I think you nailed it. Like do what you enjoy, do what brings you that like sense of like life and excitement that makes you feel happy, and to keep your eyes on your own paper, like what you can handle, how much can you do? So, you know, like we were saying earlier, saying no, like I can't do that. Like, it's okay. It's okay that I can't do that or that I have to put that off, you know, this idea that the book will, believing in your book, that it will do well, that it will find its readers, that those librarians will seek them out, you know, because of the message, because of the story, because of the characters. So just kind of trusting that, because I didn't study marketing. Like, I am not a tech guru. Like, I didn't study advertising, or I don't like self-promotion. I have major imposter syndrome. So, you know, all that stuff, like, you just have to let it go and do. If you enjoy it, great, do it. But if you don't enjoy it, it's okay. You know, do the little things that you, that like Aisha said, that make you happy, that, you know, whether they're professionally done videos or, you know, a fun video of like kids' feet in Brooklyn. I think that's perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to echo everything. I think, you know, there's so much pressure to be your own marketing department from the second you get that offer. You're like, all right, now everybody, let's start talking about this book. It's not coming out for 18 months. Let's talk about it. Like, and it feels like, especially, you know, like when you first come out with it, you start talking about it. If you get to announce a little bit earlier, like I was able to announce a little bit earlier, it feels like, you know, you're going to burn yourself out from doing all this talking about your book and no one's going to care by the time you even have pre-order links. But it's something that I thought about a lot too, that I've kind of struggled with as I've transitioned into like author facing mode, is that I think, I don't know how much this comes up in other genres, but I think in YA we're often thought of as like the author is also a little bit of a product as well. Like you're expected to kind of not perform, but you are expected to kind of pitch yourself along with your book. You're like, you're this fun author who comes up with these quirky little graphics and loves to talk about these characters. We'll maybe make playlists and things like that. And I think that figuring out how much of myself am I willing to share at the expense of my book, you know, I'm a very private person. And when I was creating kind of like author accounts and whatnot, I didn't think to make one on Instagram. I only made one for Twitter. And now, you know, everyone in my family is now seeing everything that I have to do for my book. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, Didi, you have to see me doing all this, talking about this book. And it's like, you know, they're supportive. They're there to support you. And my family has been very supportive of my journey. But I find that when I post on these accounts that are really kind of intended just for, you know, my personal life, but I didn't think to make another account. You feel even more of this confliction of like, I'm bothering my family and my friends with all of this constant promo, basically, when I'm pitching to the wrong audience. They were going to buy my book anyway, or at least I hope they were. Family, if you're listening, please buy my book, please. I said, you're in the acknowledgments, please buy the book so you can at least read that part. But I think that it's hard sometimes to draw that line between where does the author end and, you know, where does me as a person kind of, where does it blend and where is it separate? What do I share? What do I not share with the world? And how do I draw that line before the readers really start coming in? And, you know, how do I protect my personal space, basically, and create an environment where I don't feel bad about, you know, talking about the book, sharing about the book, and feel like I can do it because I've made a community for my readers mainly. And, you know, if my family and my friends want to be a part of that, amazing. Y'all are great. Thank you. But it's hard to know that, I think, before you get started on the journey, because you just start posting. You're like, yay, I have a book deal. And then, you know, people, like readers start showing up and they're like, this sounds great. And I'm like, oh, amazing. Now I have these people I don't know on my Instagram, which is great. Like, I'm so flattered that you're here and you want to read my book. But what do I post on Instagram now? It's like, I'm not going to post a picture of my dog, I guess. Well, actually, I do post a lot of pictures of my dog, because who doesn't like pictures of a dog? Come on. That's the best marketing tool you can get. You should adopt a dog. Let me not say that. People might actually go out and adopt a dog just for a promo. But it's like drawing that line, I think, has been the most difficult thing for me. And it's like, I'm sure for my friends, it's like, wow, you're different on social media now. It's like, I'm not different. I'm just, you know, kind of feeling like pulling back a little bit now that I know that there is going to be attention on me and my work in the next year. And that was, I think, the most difficult thing to kind of realize and figure out, like, how do I go about that?
Yes. It's interesting. I love how positive this group is, because the question was like to talk about your difficulties, and we were still dropping like what we're learning through those difficulties. That leads into the next question, which, what would you tell yourself? Like, what would you tell yourself a year ago? Or what's something that you wish you knew beforehand? So that 2024 debuts are better prepared than we are, maybe, not really, probably. Maria.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, it's almost like back to, I don't remember who said this earlier, maybe it was you, Alyssa, or I can't remember, about every journey, like no journey is linear, like everybody has a very unique and different journey. And, you know, I don't know what I would tell myself, because I feel like everything that's happened since I got my contract has taught me something. So I guess it is a positive spin. I don't know that I'd want to change anything, but if I'm speaking to other debuts, you know, who, you know, maybe want to have a heads up, I guess it's just this idea of, I feel like a lot of things that have happened, I haven't been expecting. Like, you're kind of in this black void in publishing where you're just, you know, doing your thing, you're writing the next book, you're talking to your critique partners, and then all of a sudden, here's the sketch of your cover. What do you think? Tell us in 24 hours. And you're like on vacation in Honduras with your family. And you're like, oh my God, my sketch. And then you have to like think about it. And it's like you get put back into author mode when you're least expecting it. It's always when you least expect it. There's no heads up, you know? And then, you know, months pass and it's crickets. And then it's like, here's the first round of copy edits. Can you get it to us in 2 weeks? And mind you, I say all this and I adore, like, that's something that I wanted to say earlier too about marketing, is that one thing I've learned is I have an awesome marketing team. Like, they are taking care of the big stuff, like the stuff that matters, you know, dealing with librarian conferences and dealing with all these different things that they do. That's just kind of like a little parenthesis about the earlier question about, you know, all the promotion stuff that we may not enjoy doing. But yeah, I think just this, I guess I would tell myself, be prepared to get emails in the middle of like the most random time and place where, you know, something's going to be expected of you, or you're going to have to do something, because you just really never know when the next thing's going to happen. And when the next, you know, debut related announcement will come, it's a little bit unpredictable. So I guess you just have to go with the flow and trust the process and focus on what brings you joy, the craft, the art, your writing community, your friends outside of the writing community, you know, and then just let the debut, you know, the publishers are doing their thing. They have their timeline. They know what they're doing, and you just kind of give it and let it go. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think that the unpredictability is kind of what I would tell future debuts is, it's very unpredictable. Like the same thing. I was just sitting on my couch, you know, watching TV after a long day, and it's like cover. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's like lose everything. I'm like, oh my God, the cover's here. You know, it's going to hit you out of nowhere. 1 minute you're just an innocent little pedestrian sitting on your couch. And then suddenly you're like author mode. I'm seeing my cover. It's amazing. I'm emotional. Something that I would say for debuts, like something that I thought was quite interesting that I've learned kind of being a fall debut is that your timelines are very different depending on what season you're in. And do not panic if you are not on the same schedule as even someone in your same season. Every publisher is different across every age group. Like I would say, like, you know, I have one person from my same imprint that we're in the same season, and even our timelines aren't exactly the same. They're pretty similar, but they're not exactly the same. And I think that when you join things like, you know, debut groups, you'll see people being like, I got my cover. And then you're like, well, I don't know anything about my cover. I haven't heard anything. And it's possible that you'll feel this like FOMO, but it's just not your time. So, and that's okay. It's just understanding, you know, knowing that like, even if you're in the same season, it's okay that your thing hasn't happened yet. It's not a bad sign. It's just that all publishers are different. Every editor is different. And so don't panic if you start seeing, you know, things are happening for like the winter debuts and you're a fall debut. You're probably going to be chilling. If you're a fall debut, you're just going to be chilling for a long time being like, I have no information because my book is good. Your books are coming out on opposite ends of the year, almost an entire year apart. So it's normal for you to not be kind of going through the same motions that everybody else is going through, and that's okay. Don't panic. That's just a random thing that I realized later that I was like, oh, I hadn't considered that, but that makes sense. Just because you're all 2023 debuts does not mean you're all on the same timeline.
Yeah, that's good to know, because like I'm the first one coming. I'm January, which I don't think there's that many people who debut in January. And I don't even know if I have a marketing team. I probably do, but I don't know. Like, and I don't ask because I'm afraid of the knowledge. Like, I just don't want to know kind of, but I should. But recently, like, I know that I have to do my cover reveal. And I know that I'm dragging it out because I just can't do what I wish I could do. And I need to, like, let that go and just have fun and do something, whatever. And then I think everything starts after that, I think. But it's absolutely, I think, really important to know that there are so many people in the KidLit community who have so much good advice, and you can find it online. And one of those people is Nadia Solomon. She knows a lot about promo and marketing. And I was on her launch team for her picture book, Goodnight Ganesha. And she had us, you know, asked us to do a whole bunch of things. And she was so lovely and so grateful. And I really learned a lot from her. I do not have her energy, but I feel like I could, if I do like a fifth of what she did, I'll be happy with myself. But, and yeah, that'll be enough for me. But you could go to her website, or there's other people too. If you just Google KidLit authors who have advice about marketing and promo, the KidLit community is really, really supportive. I think I've found that to be true, at least. And you can figure out a lot of things to do just by looking around and asking for help, even on Twitter, just asking, you know, random help, people will step in and help you. So definitely do that.
Yeah, I would have to agree. That's basically my answer, which is like just embed yourself in the community. I know Las Musas has been a huge resource for me. Like we have a Slack group. And so whenever I have a question, it's nice to be able to like go in there and know that there are dozens of authors that have way more experience than I do that would be able to steer me in the right direction. And other debut groups definitely like do that. What I have found to be super helpful, especially with the debut groups, is being able to share your arcs with each other and getting reviews. Because even though like marketing itself is like very like mysterious and like we don't really know what works and what doesn't work, we do know about human behavior. And even though a lot of us like to say that like, oh, we're trendsetters, or we're, at the end of the day, we like what other people like. Oftentimes. So if enough people endorse a book, and if enough people like talk about how great this book is because it's about food, or it's about family, or it's about abuelas, and it's intergenerational, like you hear those things about what the book is about, and it's going to or it might not resonate with you, but it'll give you more information that it's like, you know what, I think I do want to buy this book. Enough people bless it that you're just like, okay, I'm gonna hit that pre-order button. So definitely, like, I would say the first piece of advice is embed yourself in the community, debut groups, Twitter, ask questions. That would be the second piece of advice. Ask and you shall receive. I am not a graphic designer by any means, by any stretch of the imagination. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be cute. And I'm going to have like these bookmarks so that when I go visit indie bookstores, like I can like leave them with it, right? And I'm just like, I went on Canva and I was like trying to do it. Salió horrible. Oh my God, it's so bad. So I was just like, you know what? I'm going to shoot an email to my publisher and I'm like, hey, please see attached my horrible attempt at creating a bookmark. Would you be able to help me? And they were like, yeah, we'll draft a bookmark for you. And I was just like, great, so I'll order it. But it's just like, there we go. I asked a question. I was like, can you do this thing? Look at my laughable version. Ha ha ha, laugh with me. And they're gonna do it, right? So ask questions to other authors, ask questions of your agent, ask questions of your publisher, ask and you shall receive. Or if you don't, at least you know that you asked. And then the third piece of advice would be, just to enjoy the process, because it is a hot mess. Every bit of it, the writing part of it is a mess. The querying part of it is a mess. The submission process is a mess. The editing is a mess. The marketing is a mess. Everything, it's all messy, but that's what makes it, in a weird way, that's what makes it fun. So just enjoy it. Do it for the love of it. And, you know, wine. That's the fourth piece of advice, wine. So community, questions, enjoy the process, and wine.
The wine is always there for you, no matter what. Always going to be there. For
white,
you.
Rosé, whatever you want, boo.
Just take your pick. Pick your poison. Yes, it's always going to be there for you. It'll never leave
you. I'm going to put in Malbec because I'm from Argentina. But you know what I was just thinking when you were talking, Alyssa? If it is a hot mess, but without all this messiness and everything, I would have never gotten to hear about your amazing books and to like get to know you guys. And I'm so like grateful that through Las Musas and different Kidlit communities, I'm just finding out people are so interesting and talented, you know, and I get to read books and find out about books I would have probably never found on my own. So exciting and fun.
I totally agree. I think like another piece of advice I would have too is just foster genuine connections with people. Like, I think a lot of people get caught up in the like, oh, this person has like the hot new book in my genre. Let me get in good with them. And, you know, let's do promo for promo. But I think that the most uplifting part of this process is exactly what you just said, Aisha. Like, it's meeting these amazing people that have written amazing books that you might not have heard about on your own, because maybe they're a different genre from yours, maybe they're a different age category. But it's just so cool to meet these people who are going on the same journey as you. And I'm so grateful too for like all the people that I've met through debut groups, through just talking about my debut on Twitter, and just take a second to like, you know, make new friends. They make the process exciting, you know, like friends are what makes it all worthwhile.
Absolutely. I could not agree with you guys more. And also, like, I have two middle grade readers here at home, and it's so fun because through Las Musas, I'm like learning about all these amazing authors. And so then I order the books and I'm like, I kind of know this person. And then they're like, really? You know? And so then it's like, you know, it's also cool on that end too. I love the writing community. I love Las Musas. And it's true. Those genuine connections are just, they're priceless. You know, they really are.
The best feeling.
One more thing. Oh, I kind of knew a little bit about all of you, because I had to stalk all of you because I'm in the membership group. So it was really cool to be like on the front end of it and like scour your social media and like check your websites and make sure you were legit and not a cray cray, you know, like we're like the bad cray cray. We're all a little cray, you know? But like now to be like in this space with you all is really cool. Cause I'm just like, yeah, this is the vibe. This is the Las Musas vibe. So
thanks. Yeah. We passed the vibe check. Thanks for letting us pass the vibe check.
That's the vibe check.
There we go. I think this is a good way to lead into our last question, which are, what are some resources that you found that have really worked for you that you would recommend for 2024 debuts? Like, you know, we've given some amazing tips already, but is there anything like, you know, like craft wise, or maybe like a site or, you know, some blog posts that you found, or maybe even like podcasts that you have listened to or just consumed that you would really recommend for others who are wanting to learn more about the process? Aisha, if you want to go first.
Oh, wow. So there's just so many people online willing to help you, I think. I'm going to say that I've really learned a lot from just like Alyssa was saying, stalking people like on Twitter and Instagram, people who I've read their books or I've seen them talk about their books. And I'm just like, wow, this is interesting. And I have just really learned a lot from TikTok. I feel funny saying that, but I have really learned a lot, not only about books, but about cooking different recipes, but that's a different topic. But I found out about Our Shadows Have Claws. Do you guys know about that anthology? That several of Las Musas are in it, and I didn't realize that. And then I got on one of these podcasts and two of them were there, and I was like fangirling. I'm like, oh, you're the authors that I found out about on TikTok. And if you follow people that are, you know, they're talking about books and they're giving you just really a lot of tips about how to do things, author tips and illustrator tips, like free info that they're giving you. So, you know, you just have to make sure you follow the right people and stop scrolling at 3 a.m. and get some sleep, you know. Other than that, there's so much free stuff. I just say, go for it and look for it.
Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of, if you find the right people to follow, I mean, the internet is full of, you know, cray crays, but if you find the right people who are legitimately, who love writing, and in your case, Aisha, illustration, you can get a lot of great stuff online. I like my mentor from Pitch Wars, one of my mentors, Julie Arts, she has a newsletter, she posts tips every week. You know, she's a great resource for me, and she just really understands craft and, you know, how to build your story and character arcs and, you know, how to have every scene, you know, cause and effect into the next one, and how to set up your novel. You can find some great mentorships online that are free, people who just post, you know, craft tips. I love podcasts. I have a commute to New York City, so I like to listen to podcasts. There's quite a few on craft. but also a few on just the querying journey. So of the publishing persuasion is one of the fun ones. It's about the querying journey, and I enjoy that one. But there's a bunch of novel writing podcasts out there with great little tips on, you know, just the process of writing a novel. I like Save the Cat for my novel writing, and so I use that as a resource for beat sheets. I love The Emotional Craft of Fiction, How to Write the Story Beneath the Surface. This is one of my favorite books. I'm showing it to them on the Zoom. Can you see it? I can't see myself. The Emotional Craft of Fiction is great. The Magic Words, Writing Great Books for Children and Young Adults by Cheryl B. Klein is wonderful. So I love The Magic Words, The Emotional Craft of Fiction. And then, you know, a lot of books on craft like Story Engineering, Story Genius. I personally like Save the Cat. But again, you take the bits of that, what you like, because it can feel a little formulaic. And then you're kind of like feeling like you're stuck in this formula. But really, it works. It keeps you in check in building your story out. So I like that. And, you know, but I leave myself room to play around and be creative a little bit too. So those would be my resources: podcasts, books, you know, stalk people online, and also read. So like one thing, yeah, I cannot leave that out. So like authors I admire that I just love, like, especially for me, I write middle grade. So I do not read adult fiction hardly anymore. I'm part of a book club, a women's book club. And I'm like always like hanging by a thread, trying to finish whatever book we're reading. But, because I read mostly middle grade fiction, and I try to really stick with books by authors who I admire, who I think have it down, you know. So read in your genre.
Thank you so much for that, Maria. As a picture book writer, I would highly recommend a course that I took, Children's Book Academy, and it really like broke down writing picture books. Another one that I would recommend is Writing Picture Books by Anne Whitford Paul for picture books. She breaks it down like it's science. So that's for picture books, but I want to write middle grade. So thank you so much for that, Maria. I was taking notes as you were writing. And yeah, I would have to agree, read in the genre that you want to write in. I'm currently reading Bilal Ramirez, and The Escape from Zafa, which is a middle grade, and it's like it's like Dominican folklore, which is like what I'm trying to write. So it's been really good. It's been a fun ride. Another really good resource I would recommend is Libro FM. So like for those of us who like audiobooks, Libro FM, when you get a subscription to it, I think it's like $14.99 a month or something like that. They support indie bookstores. So like we're all really busy, and sometimes it's hard to find the time to read, but you have to, right? And you should want to. You should want to read. But sometimes I know for me, like it's like at the end of a really long day, my eyes are like twitching and I just can't. So I'll just put on a Libro FM and I'm just like listening to the book. Or sometimes I'll like have both. I'll have the book and I'll have like the narrator doing it. And that like brings me back to being in school when like they would have at least it would bring me back to like ESL classes where it's just like they have the audio and then they have the book and then you're following along with the text. And so Libro FM is a great resource. And yeah, just like what everyone else has been saying, stalking other people's websites. There's a lot of authors out there that share really great craft tips. So if there's an author that you really like and that you resonate with, check their website, because they might have a blog where they share a ton of resources. And I guess the last thing would be the mentorship programs. I highly recommend the Las Musas mentorship program. Latinx and Kidlit has one. Latinx in publishing, I mean, has it. The Word, PB Book Chat. There's a ton. Literally, like Google mentorship programs for writing, and that's how I found it about many of them. So do all.
I'm jealous of you guys that all had these mentorship programs. They sound so good. Like, I've never had one, but I really want one. Like, can you still have one once you're debuted and have an agent and all that? I wonder if there are some. Just do the research.
Yeah. Like, I know there was one that I was going to apply for because they do more memoir. And I have a memoir that I've been writing for like 15 years. But unfortunately, my picture book disqualifies me from it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there are some that will take you even though you're published, as long as you're publishing in a new genre. So since I publish picture book, there are some that I might still be eligible for in a different genre. But going back to my second piece.
That you guys all gave about the mentorship programs, I think it seems like it was great for you guys, and it's great for anybody who's coming up and trying to get into this hot mess.
Yeah, it definitely is. And like going back to like my second piece of advice, ask questions, because when you're looking at mentorship programs, most of them have tried really, really hard to make sure that the application is clear and that the eligibility requirements are clear, but there's still some things maybe in your own situation that fall in a gray area. Reach out to them, just ask them like, hey, this is my situation, do I qualify? And if they say yes, great. If they say no, then there's other ways.
Yeah. And actually, I believe Diverse Voices, the nonprofit that does DV Pit, also had DV debut this past year. I believe it was for 2022 debuts and possibly some 2023. There was a very specific window of time, but that's a program that has more established, like mid-career authors paired up with debuts as well. So there are definitely opportunities out there. I'm assuming they'll be doing it again this year. I'm not positive, but I don't think the time has come around yet. But there are definitely opportunities for debut authors to kind of join with a more established author who's like more mid-career. So it's like Alyssa said, Google has the answers. Like, you just find these things and it's shocking. You're like, I didn't know that was a thing. And I think that just like you said earlier, that the same thing too, where I'm kind of surprised where sometimes I'll look at an author I really admire, I'll go to their website and look at their blog specifically, and I'll find just like these gems. Like, it's always like I'll look up authors I admire and I'll find these like posts that they did like maybe years ago about craft or about their journey with publication. And I just find that so interesting to see, like, where did your favorites start? What do your favorites have to say? Even in sometimes in like their FAQs, like they'll have like a little like, you know, kind of aside, they're like, what tips do you have for writing? They'll just include that there because they're great and they put it right there for you. And I think there are some really interesting threads on Twitter about publishing. I know Tess Sharp has done some, Dahlia Adler has done quite a few as well, that are just kind of just free information that is so helpful. So I think that if you kind of just look around, there are a lot of these like established authors who have kind of been through it already, who just share the wisdom. And if you're interested in seeing what other submission journeys are like, Kate Dillon also does sub stories that I really enjoyed reading, even though it was sometimes painful when I was on sub. It was just interesting to get like some insight into what is the submission process like for other genres, for, you know, what is it like when it doesn't pan out? What is it like when it does pan out very quickly? I find like sub stories just so interesting. So I really enjoyed reading stuff like that and seeing that perspective as well. It's just like, that's interesting. I love hearing other people's stories. That's really what like intrigues me because nobody's is the same. So I find it interesting every single time. And now we're wrapping up this amazing conversation. My cheeks are literally hurting from like the amount that I've smiled over this past hour. It's like the best feeling. Can we go through, let's make sure that we know how to find everyone on social media, and also where can we find pre-order links for all of your amazing books?
I am not ready to reveal my pre-order list because first I have to do my cover reveal. So like once I do that, then I will reveal my pre-order link. This is Aisha, but you can find me on social media at Aisha's Doodles and Books on TikTok and Instagram, and at Professor Aisha. I'm a professor, by the way, also at university, but that's my side job. At Professor Aisha on Twitter. And my website is aishaperezprado.com.
Yeah, and you can find me on Twitter and Instagram as well. My website is mariajosefitzgerald.com, I think. Yeah, that's my website, right? I'm checking now. Yeah, it's mariajosefitzgerald.com. And there's links to my Instagram and Twitter on there. My Instagram is mariajosewrites. And my Twitter is, it's mariajosefitzg2. But you can find the link on my website.
We got to fight Maria Jose Fitz 1. What happened here?
It was not available. I know.
Like, who's the OJ? Maria Jose Fitz.
No, I know. It was not available. And this was before I was an author and published and all that stuff. I created my Twitter account. And I want to have it all be Maria Jose Fitzgerald, but I can't.
The struggle. The struggle with branding, for sure.
It's all right.
You can find me on my author website is alyssaauthor.com, Alyssa, A-L-Y-S-S-A, author.com. And then you can find me, you can use my website to get to my social media links, or you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at A Reynoso Morris. So A-R-E-Y-N-O-S-O. M-O-R-R-I-S, A. Reynoso Morris.
And another person who's struggled with the two last name, getting the socials all the same. I think we all have two last names here. So we all know the struggle. The two last name struggle. I am on Twitter at E. Gonzalez Rose, and that's Gonzalez with two Z's. I am on Instagram at L. Gonzalez Rose, and I'm on the internet at my website at lgonzalezrose.com. I do not have pre-order links yet, but you could add Caught in a Bad Fomance on Goodreads in the meantime. If you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Las Musas Books, and be sure to check out our bookshop page, where each book purchase supports independent bookstores. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast. You can also sign up for the Las Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musas news such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more delivered straight to your inbox. Thanks for listening!